Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now in Numbers chapter 28. I'm going to do verses 1 through 31. We're going to look at daily offerings, weekly offerings, monthly offerings, and yearly offerings, namely two yearly offerings, the Passover offerings and the Feast of Weeks offerings. Now, this is in addition to the commands and instructions that were given in the book of Leviticus, and so we're going to learn some more about the offerings. Now, I'll say before we get started, this can get complicated very quickly. I'm going to try to keep it as simple as I can, and I'm assuming that we have already learned the basic kinds of sacrifices from the book of Leviticus. Our context is this: in our previous chapter, Numbers 27, we learned about the daughters of Zelophehad. Zelophehad died with no sons to inherit, so the daughters could inherit. And then we see God commissioning Joshua to succeed Moses. And so now we begin Numbers 28, verses 1 through 2. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Command the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be careful to present my offering, my food for my offerings by fire, of a soothing aroma to me at their appointed time." Now, Adam Clark says here concerning this offering, quote, "It is not easy to account for the reason of the introduction of these precepts here, which had been so circumstantially delivered before in different parts of the books of Exodus and Leviticus." Well, that's true, but there are some extra details that we're going to learn here in Numbers that weren't in Exodus and Leviticus. Why they were not all put together, I don't know. Doesn't matter to me. The laws of sacrifice we see, of course, in Leviticus 1 through 7, which I went over in great detail in earlier audios. Now, in Exodus 29, 38 through 41, we see the command of the daily offerings. And this is what we're talking about here, is the daily offerings, every day. Exodus 29, 38 through 41, "This is what you are to offer regularly on the altar every day. 2-year-old lambs." That's not 2-year-old lambs, that's 2 1-year-old lambs. "In the morning, offer one lamb, 1 1-year-old lamb, and at twilight, offer the other 1-year-old lamb. With the first lamb, offer 2 quarts of fine flour mixed with 1 quart of oil from crushed olives and a drink offering of 1 quart of wine. You are to offer the second lamb at twilight, offer a grain offering and a drink offering with it, like the one in the morning, as a pleasing aroma of fire offering to the Lord." Now, let me say something about the oil, the wine, and the flour, or the grain. All of these offerings were accompanied by oil, wine, and flour. I'm going to go into great detail as we get through this chapter on how much oil, wine, and flour were offered with each animal that was sacrificed. So we won't worry about that right now. I'm just saying that in Exodus 29, 38 through 41, we have the basic establishment of the evening and morning sacrifice, very important sacrifices in Israel. Now, let me give you some options as to why God did talk about offerings and sacrifices here right in the middle of the book of Numbers. Clark said it's not easy to account for. Well, here's some reasons, potential reasons why. The NIV Study Bible says it's perhaps to give continuity to the impending transition from Moses to Joshua. Moses wasn't going to be around to see that the laws were enforced, as John Gill said. So we can speculate that the laws were repeated again after Joshua was appointed, which happened in the last chapter. So now we're seeing some repetition. Gill and Clark suggest that perhaps the reason the sacrificial laws are repeated here is because there was much disuse or lack of enforcement of the laws, which were first given 38 years ago. This is 38 years later. They need a refresher course. The sacrifices may have been disrupted for several years, and they needed to be reestablished upon entrance to the promised land. I think that's reasonable. And Gill and Clark also point out that this was a new generation of Israelites. The old generation of Israelites had fallen with their corpses in the wilderness, dead. So the new generation needed to hear the law again. Now, I think I've mentioned this already, that there's a logical order in this chapter to the sacrifice, starting from the more often sacrifices, the sacrifices that happened more often, daily, then next weekly, then monthly, then annual sacrifices. So we'll start out with the daily sacrifices. Numbers 28, 3 through 8. "You shall say to them," this is God talking to Moses, this is what Moses is to say to the people, "This is the offering by fire which you shall offer to the Lord, 2 male lambs, 1 year old, without defect, as a continual burnt offering every day." Now, that's just like in Exodus 29. We just read that to you. Verse 4, Numbers 28, "You shall offer the one lamb in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. Also a tenth of an ephah of fine flour of grain for a grain offering mixed with a fourth of a hin of beaten oil. So the oil and the flour was always mixed together. Verse 6, it is a continual burnt offering. That means every day you don't stop. Continual burnt offering. The morning and evening sacrifices were burnt offerings as opposed to peace and sin and guilt offerings. It is a continual burnt offering which was ordained in Mount Sinai, Exodus 29:38, as a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. Then the drink offering with it shall be a fourth of a hin for each lamb. Now there's the wine, the drink offering. And so each animal that sacrifices has grain and oil, the oil mixed with the grain, and perhaps baked into bread too, by the way. And then also there was wine that was poured out on the altar with the animal. So you got grain, oil, and wine, the grain and the oil mixed together and the wine separately. In the holy place you shall pour out a drink offering. Now that sounds crazy that you would go into the holy place and pour out a drink offering. Where? Well, that's because this holy place is not talking about the place where the bread of the presence and the seven branch candlestick and the golden altar was. It's not talking about the 10 by 20 by 10 cubic compartment of the tabernacle. This is talking about the courtyard. It's a holy place because the courtyard was holy too. The names are extremely confusing. In the holy place you shall pour out a drink offering of strong drink to the Lord. That means wine, strong drink. The other lamb you shall offer at twilight as the grain offering of the morning, and as its drink offering you shall offer it an offering by fire, a soothing aroma to the Lord. All right, now let's look at the grain, the oil, and the wine offerings. We're going to, first of all, get the units straight. I could have used the Holman Christian Study Bible here that gives English units instead of Hebrew units, but I think it's easier to see the gradations when we use the Hebrew unit, so we're going to use the New American Standard here. A tenth of an ephah of fine flour. A tenth of an ephah is about 2 quarts. And then we see a fourth of a hin of oil. That's about 1 quart. And a fourth of a hin of wine is about 1 quart. So that's easy to remember. 1 tenth of an ephah, 2 quarts. 1 fourth of a hin, 1 quart. And the drink offering is strong drink, as I said. That sounds like whiskey or something. That's not what it means. It just means fermented grape juice. NIV has fermented. KGV has wine, and we don't usually think of wine as strong drink, so that could be confusing too. Now, Numbers 3 through 8 is talking about a daily burnt offering, and the daily burnt offering was lambs. We're going to see that each animal has its own prescribed amount of grain, oil, and wine. Now, for the lamb, it's 1 tenth of an ephah of grain, 2 quarts, and oil, 1 fourth of a hin, 1 quart, and wine, 1 fourth of a hin. So that's 1 tenth ephah, 1 fourth hin, 1 fourth hin as you go from grain to oil to wine. So we'll see that pattern continue when we get to the other sacrifices, which require different animals, and different animals require different amounts. So we go now to Numbers 28, verses 9 and 10. Then on the Sabbath day, 2 male lambs, 1 year old without defect, and 2 tenths of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering and its drink offering. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath in addition to the continual burnt offering and its drink offering. Now, every day was a normal day. It was 1 lamb in the morning and 1 lamb at night for the daily burnt offerings, but on the Sabbath day was a special day because it's Sabbath, the sign of the covenant. So on the Sabbath day, there was 2 male lambs offered, and I'm assuming that that means there was 1 additional male lamb in addition to the one that was normally offered on an ordinary day. That's not exactly clear. I mean, you could interpret it as saying there was 2 male lambs for the Sabbath offering in addition to the 1 male lamb that was given on a normal day, but I don't think so. John Gill agrees with that. He says it's probably an extra one in the morning, extra one in the evening, though even though the text does not explicitly say. Notice now that because there's 2 male lambs, now there's 2 tenths of an ephah instead of 1 tenth of an ephah of oil that's of grain, that's of flour, grain that's off, that's needed, because it's 1 tenth for every male lamb. So now there's 2 male lambs, so we need 2 tenths. All right, so we've taken care of the daily burnt offerings. Now we've taken care of the weekly burnt offerings on the Sabbath day. Now we go to the monthly offerings, namely the offering that was offered at the first day of each month, the new moon festivals, capital N, capital M. I'm going to call it the new moon festivals at the beginning of each month. So we read in Numbers 28, 11 through 15. Then at the beginning of each of your months, you shall present a burnt offering to the Lord, 2 bulls and 1 ram, 7 male lambs, 1 year old without defect. And of course, all sacrifices were without defect. That is hardly even worth mentioning anymore. But now let's talk about the animals here, because we're going to see a pattern. And I'm going to summarize the animal sacrifices this way, going from smallest animal to biggest animal. Lambs, ram, and bulls. Lambs, ram, and bulls. I'm going to say that over and over again. Lambs, ram, and bulls. Seven lambs, one ram, and two bulls. I'm not going to mention the seven lambs or the two bulls to make it easier to remember. Lambs, ram, and bulls. Lambs, ram, and bulls. All right. So those were offered on the first of every month, the new moon. Numbers 28:12. And 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering for each bull. Now we see different amounts for different animals, different amounts of flour. 2/10 of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering for the one ram. And 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering for each lamb. So lamb, ram, and bulls had different amounts of grain. The smallest animal had 1/10, that was the lamb. The intermediate-sized animal, the ram, had 2/10 of flour. And the biggest animal, the bull, had 3/10 of an ephah for flour. And that makes sense. 3/10 is 6 quarts, 2/10 for the ram is 4 quarts, and 1/10 is 2 quarts for the lamb. So that takes care of the grain offering. Now let's look at the drink offerings. Verse 14, Numbers 28. Their drink offering shall be a half of hin of wine for a bull, a third of a hin for the ram, and a fourth of a hin for a lamb. So just as the grain goes down, as the animals go down in size, same thing with the drink offering. The smallest animal was a lamb, and so a lamb required a fourth of a hin. The intermediate-sized animal was a ram, so that required a third of a hin, a little bit bigger. And the bull was the biggest animal. It required half a hin. A hin is about a quart, so you got 1 quart. A third is about 1 1/4. A third of a hin is 1 1/4 quarts, and a half a hin is 2 quarts. And in verse 15, we see not only do we have burnt offerings for the new moon festivals at the beginning of each month, we also have a sin offering. Verse 15, and one male goat for a sin offering to the Lord. It shall be offered with its drink offering in addition to the continual burnt offering. Now, normally a male goat was given as a sin offering for the leaders of the people. A female goat was given for an ordinary person. So in the new moon, it was a bigger deal than just an ordinary sin offering. So a male goat was offered, and I guess you could say that male goat was offered for the sins of the leaders, if you want to run Leviticus together here with Numbers. But at any rate, it was a male offering, sin offering, at the new moon festival. Now let's look a little bit at this new moon festival. The NIV Study Bible says that these sacrifices that I've just mentioned were at the beginning of each month and were of great significance. This was a time of celebration and blowing of trumpets and worship. We read in Numbers 10:10, you are to sound the trumpets over your burnt offerings and your fellowship sacrifices as peace offerings, and on your joyous occasions, your appointed festivals in the beginning of each of your months. They will serve as a reminder for you before your God, I am Yahweh your God. Well, this blowing of trumpets over festivals in general, but it also says in particular here in Numbers 10:10, and the beginning of each of your months. That's the new moon festivals. Now, I've got some good 2 paragraphs of quotations from gotquestions.org that summarize the new moon festival. I think it's worth reading. Quote, the significance of the new moon in Bible times is that it marked the beginning of a new month. The Hebrew calendar is lunar-based, and it was a time when the Israelites were to bring an offering to God. The beginning of the month was known not by astronomical calculations, but by the testimony of messengers appointed to watch for the first visible appearance of the new moon. As soon as the first sliver was seen, the fact was announced throughout the whole country by signal fires on the mountaintops and the blowing of trumpets. The Hebrew word for month, Horesh, literally means new moon. So we see the priests are in charge of this. They see the moon, they set the signal fires, and pretty soon it's all over the land. It's time, it's new moon, now we can reckon the dates for our new month. Another paragraph from gotquestions.org, quote, in Numbers 28:11, that's where we are now, the new moon offering is commanded for the first time. On the first of every month, present to the Lord a burnt offering of 2 young bulls, 1 ram, and 7 male lambs. There's your lambs, ram, and bulls. Without defect, each of the animal sacrifices was to be accompanied by a grain offering and a drink offering, as we've seen. In addition to burnt offerings, a goat was to be sacrificed to the Lord as a sin offering, which we've just mentioned. The new moon festival marked the consecration to God of each new month in the year. New moon festivals were marked by sacrifices, the blowing of trumpets over the sacrifices, citing Numbers 10:10, which I just read to you, the suspension of all labor and trade, which we'll see in Nehemiah 10:31. I'll read that to you in a minute, and social or family feast, as we obtained from 1 Samuel 25. All right, so here is the essential ingredients of a new moon festival. Sacrifices, blowing of trumps, no work, feast. Those are your four constituent parts of a new moon festival. Now let's look at the aspect of no work. We get that from Amos 8:5. Amos is griping, he's complaining about evil people, evil Israelites, and he says, "When will the new moon be over?" Well, he's quoting these evil people. "When will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may open the wheat market to make the bushel smaller and the shekel bigger and to cheat with dishonest scales?" He's saying, hey, the cheaters can't cheat if there's no market activity going on during the new moon. So when will the new moon be over so we can get back to cheating people in the marketplace? There's no marketplace in the new moon. So there we know that there was no labor on the new moon. Now, there were some exceptions to this. John Gill, I don't know how he knows this, is probably from rabbinic literature. Domestic labor of women, they had to do cooking and so forth in the house. The celebration of public worship, as Gill mentions, after all, somebody had to do all the sacrifices that are mentioned. Somebody has to kill all those lambs, ram, and bulls. And then the social or family feast, we see that in 1 Samuel 20, verse 5. So David said to Jonathan, "Behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I ought to sit down to eat with the king." So in other words, it was customary to eat with the family at the new moon. Now, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown say these observations, which I've gotten here from Amos and 1 Samuel, not in the law. These observations are not prescribed in the law, though they obtained in the practice of a later time. So the no labor and the feasting was an addition to the legal requirements here in the Torah. Now, notice we have added, since we've gone from the daily and weekly offerings, which are just a lamb in the morning and a lamb at night, a lamb in the morning and a lamb at night for daily, two lambs in the morning, two lambs at night for the weekly. Now we're at the monthly sacrifices, and by golly, we've got more than lambs. We have got ram and bulls, big animals, because this is a bigger deal. A month is a bigger deal than a week. Now some people say, well, it's because the new moon is more holy than the Sabbath, which Gill denies, I suppose, because the Sabbath is very important, of course, in the Old Testament. We don't want to say the new moon is more holy. Gill says it doesn't have anything to do with the holiness, it's just that it's too expensive. If you every week you had these Sabbath offerings requiring, or every day for that matter, requiring bulls and lambs, it would just be too expensive. Well, I won't get into an argument over which is more holy than the others, but we do know that a month is a bigger deal than a week, and so that's why we have bulls and rams now. Now, here's my table, because this structure of the amount of grain, oil, and wine for each of the different animals, lambs, ram, and bulls, is consistent. The same amount of each is of each animals, and the same amount of grain, oil, and wine for each animal is given in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, is given in the Feast of New Moon, and it's given in the Feast of Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Weeks. So three major festivals have the same amount of animals and grain, oil, and wine, so we might as well learn that. All right, going from smaller, I can't show you the table, but I'll read it to you. Going from smaller animal to bigger animal, we go from seven lambs to one ram to two bulls. Now for each of the lambs, the grain is 1/10 of an ephah, for the ram is 2/10 of an ephah, and for the two bulls is 3/10 of an ephah. You notice it's going up as you go from small to big animal. That's the grain, 1/10, 2/10, 3/10 of an ephah. Now let's look at the oil that's to be mixed with the grain. We go from 1/4 hen, 1/3 hen to 1/2 hen as we go from lambs, ram to bulls. The amount of oil gets bigger as we go from smaller animal to bigger animal. How about the wine for the drink offering? For the lamb is 1/4 of a hen. For each of the seven lambs, it's 1/4 of a hen. For the one ram, it's 1/3 of a hen. For each of the two bulls, it's 1/2 a hen. Notice that the oil and the wine amount is exactly the same, 1/4, 1/3, 1/2. So that brings a little bit of order, a little bit of pattern out of all these details, which will help a little bit, I think. Now, I gave you this table and I mentioned the oil. Well, the oil for the different animals of the new moon sacrifice is not given in our passage in Numbers 28 that we're studying. You have to go back to Numbers 15 to get it, so I just put it in there. It's 1/4, 1/3, 1/2 as you go from lambs, ram to bulls. That's not in Numbers 28, but it is in Numbers 15, verses 4, 5, and 9. So let me read that. Numbers 15, 4, the one who presents his offering shall present to the Lord a grain offering of 1/10 of an ephah mixed with 1/4 of an oil. And this is for a lamb. Verse 5 says that. Prepare a quart of wine. That's a quart is 1/4 of a hen for each lamb. Okay, so we got 1/10 of an ephah, 1/4 of a hen, 1/4 of a hen of oil, and 1/4 of a hen of wine for each lamb in Numbers 15, 4 and 5. So there's your pattern. Numbers 15, 6, we look at the ram. For a ram, you should prepare as a grain offering 2/10 of an ephah for flour, 1/3 of a hen of oil. So there's the 1/3 of a hen of oil that we were missing in Numbers 28 is provided for us in Numbers 15, 6. And now in Numbers 15, 9, then you shall offer with the bull. We're at the biggest animal now. There's your 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour, which we already know. But this 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour is mixed with 1/2 a hen of oil. So in Numbers 15, dealing with the oil, dealing with the different size animals, we go from 1/4 to 1/3 to 1/2, just the same pattern. So that little table brings it all together. And we're going to see that this pattern works for three different sacrifices, as I mentioned. It works for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is after Passover in Nisan, spring. Then when you get to the Feast of Weeks in May, June, Sivan the 6th, the Feast of Weeks, the day of Pentecost, same thing. Lambs, ram, and bulls. 7 lambs, 1 ram, and 2 bulls with the same amount of grain, oil, and wine. And then, of course, the new moon here. So this pattern works for three different sacrifices. Not to mention the male goat for a sin offering is in all three too also. So we go down to all three festivals, Passover, Weeks, and New Moon. So now we go to Numbers 28, 16 through 21. Then on the 14th day of the first month shall be the Lord's Passover. On the 15th day of this month shall be a feast. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. You shall present an offering by fire, a burnt offering to the Lord, 2 bulls and 1 ram and 7 male lambs. There's your lambs, ram, and bulls. Without defect. For their grain offering, you shall offer fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for a bull, 2/10 for the ram, and 1/10 of an ephah you shall offer for each of the 7 lambs. I just mentioned that in the table. Same pattern. We don't need to go over that again. This, of course, is the famous Passover meal. This is the famous Feast of Unleavened Bread, which comes after the famous Passover celebration, which was the 14th of the first month being Nisan. That means the first month when they came out of Israel. That's why it's called the first month. They came out of Egypt, I'm sorry. That's why it's called the first month. Now, Tishri was the first civil year. That's September, October. We're talking about the religious year now. Now, the Festival of Unleavened Bread, as a refresher, we see this in Leviticus 23, 5 through 8. Well, let's just go 6 through 8. Then on the 15th day of the same month, in other words, Nisan, that's one day after Passover, there's the Feast of Unleavened Bread for the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day, that's Nisan 15, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work, but for 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the 7th day is a holy convocation, same as the first day. So Nisan 15th, you got a Sabbath. Nisan 21st, a Sabbath, a holy convocation, no work. Now, it doesn't say what the offerings are here. It just says you should present an offering by fire. Well, Leviticus doesn't say, but Numbers does say. And it's the same thing. 7 lambs, 1 ram, and 2 bulls every day from Nisan 15 to Nisan 21. That's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, just as a refresher here on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, on the 15th and the 21st day, the 1st and 7th day of that week, no laborious work was required, but there was an exception for preparing food. Exodus 12:16 says this, on the first day, that's the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you shall have a holy assembly, and another holy assembly on the 7th day. No work at all should be done on them, except what must be eaten by every person. That alone may be prepared by you. So they could prepare food on a weekly Sabbath, not a festival Sabbath, but a weekly Sabbath. They couldn't prepare food. They had to prepare it on the day before, but not here on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. All right, we go now to Numbers 28, 22 through 25. And 1 male goat for a sin offering to make atonement for you. I really should have left that in the previous section, because that 1 male goat is referring to the male goat that's offered every day for a sin offering on the 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, along with the 7 lambs, 1 ram, and 2 bulls. and an extra goat for a sin offering. The lambs, ram, and bulls were for a burnt offering, which of course is a whole burnt offering, which means total sacrifice and praise to God. A sin offering is to take your sin away. Different types of offerings, as we discussed ad nauseum in the book of Leviticus. So now, Numbers 28, verse 23, you shall also present these, talking about the lambs, ram, the bull, and the goat that I just talked about, you shall also present these besides the burnt offering in the morning. That's the continual burnt offering every day at morning and every day at twilight. Lamb in the morning, lamb in the night, along with its associated drink offering and grain offerings. Now, why was this mentioned? Because the Lord did not want the Israelites to think that they would cease giving those daily offerings just because they're offering other sacrifices in that week of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's a continual burnt offering. That means you continue it even when there's a feast going on and you're offering extra sacrifices on the altar. All right, let me continue with verse 24, Numbers 28. After this manner, you shall present daily for seven days, the food of the offering by fire. That's all the burnt offerings. The lamb, the rams, and the bulls. Every day, 7 days of a soothing aroma to the Lord, it shall be presented with its drink offering in addition to the continual burnt offering. Again, you don't get rid of the daily offerings. You present the other animals on top of the daily offering. On the seventh day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work, which we've already talked about. So we're still talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, I assumed that in verse 24, when it says, you shall present daily for 7 days the food of the offering by fire, it doesn't say exactly what that food is, what those sacrifices are. I just assumed it was the lamb, the ram, and the lambs, the ram, and the bulls. Seven lambs and two bulls. Well, Colin Delitzsch makes that explicit. Here's what they say, quote, the same number of sacrifices as at the new moon were to be offered on every one of the 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. On every one of them. From the 15th to the 21st of the month, Nisan. There was no general festal offering on the day of the Passover, on the 14th. Okay, nothing complicated there. We go now to Numbers 28, verses 26 through 31, and we'll go to another festival. Let me rehash what we've done here. We've done the daily offerings, lamb in the morning, lamb at night. We've done the Sabbath offerings, two lambs in the morning, two lambs at night. We've done the new moon offerings, seven lambs, one ram, and two bulls. That's the new moon offerings every month. Then we've done the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is every year at a certain time, 15th to 21st of Nisan, every year, the annual offering. The animals were the same as the new moon offerings. Seven lambs, one ram, and two bulls. And now we're going to go to another annual feast, the Feast of Weeks, also known as Pentecost, also known as the Feast of Harvest in May or June of the year. Sivan the 6th. The third month, the sixth day. So let's look at that. Numbers 28, 26 through 31. Also on the day of the first fruits, let me stop right here. The day of the first fruits is another name for the Feast of Pentecost because they offered a first fruit offering on that day. Also on the, and which I'll talk about in detail in just a minute. And also on the day of the first fruits, when you present a new grain offering to the Lord in your Feast of Weeks, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. Now, the Feast of Weeks is a one-day festival, as opposed to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. One-day festival, no work, holy convocation, a holy assembly. You also have a first fruits offering. Verse 27, you shall offer a burnt offering for a soothing aroma to the Lord. You also have a burnt offering. And guess what is offered in the burnt offering? You might have heard this before. Seven lambs, one ram, and two young bulls. Lambs, ram, and bulls for the Feast of Weeks. And their grain offering, fine flour mixed with oil. 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the ram, and 1/10 for each of the seven lambs. That ought to be familiar too by now. The amount of flour decreases with the size of each sacrificial animal. Verse 30, Numbers 28. Also one male goat to make atonement for you. That ought to sound familiar too. To make atonement for you, that's a sin offering. Verse 31, besides the continual burnt offering, that's the daily offering, morning and night, and its grain offering that goes with the continual morning and offering sacrifices, you shall present them with their drink offerings. Of course, all these animals have a drink offering associated with them. And of course, they shall be without defect. Now let's do a little review of the Feast of Weeks. It's hard to keep this in your head. We go back to Leviticus 23, verse 15. Let's read that. You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, From the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be seven complete Sabbaths. Now that Sabbath they're talking about is Nisan 15, the first holy convocation of the seven-day feast, the day after Passover. So you count from the first day after the first holy convocation of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That first Sabbath day is Nisan the 15th, and the first day after that is Nisan the 16th. Count seven Sabbaths, that's 49 days, and then add another day, that's the 50th day, and you end up on Sivan the 6th, and that's the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Harvest, whatever you want to call it. It's on a set day every year, and the day is set by that Nisan the 16th, the day after the Sabbath, Nisan the 15th, the first Sabbath of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, on that Nisan the 16th, there was a grain offering made. It was a sheaf of barley. It was barley in the spring. It was the barley harvest, and they would take the first fruit of the sheaf of barley harvest, and they'd wave it before the altar, up and back, left and right. That's a wave offering. And then they'll count off seven complete Sabbaths. 50 days. Seven Sabbaths is 49 days plus the extra day is 50 days. And that is, of course, where we get the term Pentecost from, because that means 50 days. Now, on the Feast of Weeks, they would take the first fruits of the wheat offering. That's why it's called the day of first fruits. The first fruits of the wheat offering, they would bake that sheath into two loaves. And so that was took care of the wheat first fruits. Barley first fruits in the Feast of Unleavened Bread on Nisan the 16th, and 50 days later on Sivan the 6th, they would wave the loaves from the first fruits of the wheat. So barley in the spring, wheat in the early summer. Well, that's just a review, but let's go back to our pattern here just to summarize. When we look at burnt offerings, we see that the same offerings are given on the day of Pentecost, on the new moon, Feast of New Moons, and at the Festival of Unleavened Bread, those 7 days from 15th to 21st Nisan. So we got three festivals that have exactly the same burnt offering: Pentecost, Unleavened Bread, and the Festival of New Moon. And those animals, those burnt offering sacrifices, were seven lambs, one ram, and two bulls. Now, peace offerings were offered at the Feast of Weeks, but they're not mentioned here in Numbers. In Leviticus 23:19, you shall offer one male goat for a sin offering and two male lambs 1 year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. All right, so as far as the burnt offerings, three festivals, same burnt offerings, two bulls, one ram, seven lambs, or seven lambs, one ram, two bulls, the same animals at the three festivals, Pentecost, New Moon, Unleavened Bread. Now, how about sin offerings? Well, yes, the same male goat sin offering was offered at New Moon, Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, the three major festivals I just mentioned. You got the same sin offering, just like you had the same burnt offerings. Numbers 28:15, one male goat is to be offered as a sin offering to the Lord, and that's referring to the New Moon Festival, the 7 days of Unleavened Bread. Is Numbers 28:22, one male goat for a sin offering. And then the Feast of Weeks, which is Sivan the 6th, Numbers 28:30, one male goat to make atonement for yourself. So in this one chapter, we see the same male goat sin offering for all three festivals. So you see there's a lot of pattern here if you dig into all the details. Now once again in verse 31, the daily offering is called a continual burnt offering. It's mentioned again. You're not supposed to get rid of that just because you're offering all these other animals at the various sacrifices, and especially at this particular Feast of Weeks, you don't get rid of the burnt offering. The burnt offerings are not omitted in the weekly offerings when you have a Sabbath offering, not in the monthly offering when you have a new moon offering, or the annual festivals, Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks. No, you just keep right on with the daily burnt offerings. That's why it's called a continual burnt offering. Ladies and gentlemen, we have finished with this complicated chapter, chapter 28. We are now ready to go to chapter 29 in our next audio, verses 1 through 40, offerings for the Feast of Trumpets. That's Tishri 1, September, October, and the Feast of Booths, which is also in Tishri. I hope you stay tuned for that audio, and I hope you enjoyed this one.